Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live for the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw along with Bruce Levine talking baseball 9 to 11 like we do almost every Saturday. Today, looking ahead at how bold the Cubs might be this offseason, and whether the White Sox are interested in plugging in the hot stove. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, David. Yeah, it's an interesting time with free agency starting this week and all of the little nuances of contracts for major league players and teams all taken care of as of Thursday afternoon. So we now all know where all the players stand as far as free agent or not free agent. The only thing left on the docket now is for us to identify which players are going to take the one-year deals that are offered to them, like Shota Imanaga by the Chicago Cubs.
We'll talk about the Cubs' decisions that were made this week, the ones that are coming ahead in the week and months to come, because the GM meetings are Monday through Thursday, I believe, in Las Vegas. So we're looking forward to having plenty to speculate about. We're going to talk about the White Sox. They hired a new pitching coach. They hired a hitting coach as well. We're going to talk to the pitching coach at 10 o'clock, Zach Bove, and Boog Shambi, the voice of the Cubs on the Marquee Sports Network, who also did the World Series for ESPN Radio and did a terrific job and witnessed a lot of history that is worth discussing. Because, Bruce, last we talked on this show, last Saturday morning, it was before the epic Game 7 in which the Dodgers came back to win their second straight World Series.
It was a fantastic World Series, great playoff run for Major League Baseball. As the TV metrics will tell you, it was a win-win, one of the biggest wins for baseball since 1991 as far as numbers go. But here's the amazing thing to me, you know, if you'll allow just a little sidebar from that, David, mm-hmm. and that is, why is it that what we see now always has to be the greatest?
That's a good question, because I think people want to have that certainty, and because we live in a media world where things are presented in extremes, it's either bust or boom.
This was an excellent World Series.
Or famine.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, right. And immediately it's like, is this the best you've ever seen?
No, it
I don't know.
No,
that
they will jam it down your throat that it is, even though,
yeah,
you know, there's been 120 years of World Series, right?
And it's so subjective. The best World Series that anybody has ever seen in Chicago, well, I imagine it's split down between Cub fans and Sox fans. 2016, Game 7, and 2005, the sweep.
I personally, you know, the 1906 hitless wonders of Chicago White Sox beating the Cubs was my favorite.
I know.
So
how were your seats?
I had a pretty good choice. There were only 14,000 seats. So.
But that's a good point, is that immediately,
I mean, we want to make you want to always live in the most relevant time.
Well,
the reality is,
yeah,
we don't.
We don't. And I know we most certainly don't in this point in time, but that's a different show.
That's a good show, though.
Yeah, right.
If you want to go there, I'm with you.
I think what you can appreciate in the midst of what we watched last Saturday night was what the Dodgers did to come back, how great I think Shohei Ohtani is, and
second greatest player ever.
Well, that's a good debate as well. Exactly, light him up. Argue with Bruce. So, but I think you're right. It's a point well taken. It doesn't have to be the greatest ever to be something that we think and appreciate that baseball is, despite the work stoppage that is looming, despite a lot of things that make the game worth pointing out, boy, is it healthy right now, because that World Series was hard to top. Right. How about that?
Right. Baseball owners will argue with you that baseball's not in a good place because of the fact that revenues aren't quite what they were, especially TV revenues locally. So, you know, that's going to be the jumping off point for their discussions with the players on a salary cap. And, you know, that's, we'll be talking about that throughout the year. I know fans get angry just hearing about, you know, a work stoppage.
Yeah, exactly, because nobody wants to hear that was the best World Series or a great World Series in spite of the fact that a work stoppage is looming. that is the reality in the game, but it should not detract from the greatness that we did witness in Game 7.
All right, let's get back into the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, okay, let's do this, because 312-644-6767. The essential question I think we have in looking back at this week and looking ahead to next month: how bold do you expect the Cubs to be in this offseason? How close do you consider them to be a World Series, legitimate World Series contender? Because you could say they were this year because they were close to getting to the NLCS. But I want to know, we'll start there. We'll get people who can call, who can text. But I want to ask you, Bruce, the decisions that were made this week, qualifying offers for Kyle Tucker and Shota Imanaga, declining Shota Imanaga's option so he becomes potentially a free agent. How does what happened in the past week fit into the offseason plan in terms of strategy, aggressiveness, and success level?
Yeah, it's a terrific question, and it's one that will go unanswered for a short period of time here. You know, we'll get to talk to Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer at the GM meetings, along with Chris Getz, starting on Tuesday. The meetings start Monday. I'll be there with the rest of the media starting then. But Tuesday, the presidents of baseball operations and general managers talk to the media at length for an hour in a circle around a room where you go from top executive, David. And at that time, I think we're going to get a better handle starting then on the Cubs shifting their revenues around. So I think right now it's about $158 million that's committed to next year. That's without the Imanaga money, right? So the Imanaga money is going to be, it might be there for another $22 million. It might not be there. It might be changed, as we're going to talk about here for a few minutes, to a different deal that they can work out between now and the 18th of November.
So Shota Imanaga, not good down the stretch. I think the number of home runs, 20 in his last 13 outings. He was
23,
bad.
23, yep.
He 23 since, in the last 13. And he was, I think, inconsistent after the end of July. Actually, since the White Sox shelling on the south side, he really wasn't good after that. The Cubs determined they did not want to pick up the option, would have locked them into 3 years at $57 million
and
total.
And a no-trade.
And a no-trade clause. That, I think, was a non-starter. So what they did was they structured the decision-making process so that they would offer him a qualifying offer. If Shota Imanaga accepts that qualifying offer, he's entitled to $22 million. Let's just start there with a very simple question. Do you think if he accepts that $22 million qualifying offer, that is worth it for what he would give you as a fourth or fifth starter next year, one season?
Well, the Cubs have already made the decision, yes, right? Because if he takes it,
it's a risk.
Right.
They might be gambling that he's not going to want to take it.
But over the next 10 days, David, that is the time that they can make this into a 2 or 3 year contract.
What would that look like, and how would you structure it?
I would structure it this way. I would give him a 2 year contract, the second year being a player and team opt out. Right.
Okay.
So the $22 million would be deducted from the first year. And let's say you give him $17 million in the first year, and you give him another $19 million in the second year with a $4 million buyout.
Okay.
Okay. So
the levers you could pull and press and whatever it is, but you could make that a 1 year commitment with perks
with the same 22 million with the same 22 million.
Okay.
So he'll get that, and then the team will be assured, if he doesn't have a good year, of being able to opt out at a minimum amount, considering the contract amount by opting out, giving him his buyout. And then you move on. And 2027, looking dark for Major League Baseball, so we don't know that. And it also gives the ownership, Mr. Ricketts and the business people over with the Chicago Cubs, the freedom to know that if there is a change in the way players are traded or are paid via a salary cap and a salary bottom as well, then they're free. Right now, David, here's the shocking thing. Right now, there's only one player that the Cubs are committed to past 2027.
Who would that be?
I'm sorry, 2026.
2026. One player?
One player.
One player on the payroll committed to through 2026. One player.
Dansby Swanson.
Wow. I did not realize that. That says a lot about the state of the game and the way that the people are bracing for what comes next. Let's go back to Shota for a second. Do you think that that is a reasonable risk to take for the Cubs? And would you want him back from a baseball perspective?
Well, I want it's just like Pete Crow Armstrong argument about paying him ahead. Which version do you want? Do you want the version first 3 months?
I think that confuses the issue, because I think that Pete Crow Armstrong is easier to project.
Well, here's Shota Managa that hurt his hamstring, right? Came back, was at least 6 weeks, might have been 7 weeks, and pitched okay the first couple times out. After that, we started seeing a tick down, a whole mile per hour off, okay? Lance Brzozowski did this breakdown with us yesterday on Marquee, that the slug was extremely impacted by that 1 mile per hour, you know. So which version are you getting back? Are you getting the stronger, better Shota out that has more life on his fastball, more depth on his breaking ball, his splitter? Or are you getting back the guy that was serving up BP at the end of the year?
It's a good question. Let's get to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Texter, I do think Shota is worth one for 22. Good on the Cubs for making the offer, because it certainly is not a penny pitching move. Fair enough. Let me ask you this, Bruce, before we get to Kevin and Palatine. Do you believe that any decision made on Shota and Managa would impact or limit them in what they want to do in free agency, pursuing, say, Dylan Cease, the way that you suggested they would last
or
week?
Or the trade market.
Or trade market for Tariq Skubal with the Tigers. Do you think that signing Shota would impair that movement?
I don't think so. I mean, if you signed Shota, according to my math, they'd be at around, if he gets $22 million, they'll be right around $180 million, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They had a payroll this year of around $210 million, okay? That was down from 2024, okay? So I think there's still plenty of money to go. Remember, they have a bullpen to fill.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a moment.
Right. They have a bullpen to fill.
They have one less right arm than they did 5 days ago, because Andrew Kittredge is now back with the Orioles. Yeah. For money, cash considerations.
They have about two or three bullpen arms left. But other than that, position player-wise, even if, we're assuming that that Tucker is not coming back.
That's the assumption I think is fair to make.
Even position wire plays without him, I think they feel pretty good about what their offense is going to bring.
Kevin is in Palatine. Kevin, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, guys. Bruce, you and David are around Wrigley probably more than anybody, and when you turn on the TV, it's jam-packed, and Mr. Ricketts got a bunch of extra playoff games. It was jam-packed. So I got to ask you a question, because you were on the station with David and Mully a few weeks ago, and you said, we don't understand the math. So I got to ask a question. Jeff Passan, A.J. Pierzynski, John Heyman, everyone at ESPN, everyone is calling out Ricketts for hoarding his money and not operating in good faith, but you seem to have some different math. So I'm wondering, what do you know that everyone else in the world doesn't about the fact that he took in $540 million, and I don't want to hear about what he spent in the neighborhood, no one's going to buy the team.
I can't help you if you don't want to hear. If you don't want to hear the other numbers.
You don't want to hear it. Why is he hoarding money, Bruce? Why are we not getting the best free agent?
So you and I have a difference of opinion on how an owner hoards money or makes money. Okay, there's a difference between the two. And we don't know how much the Cubs make, all right? We don't know how much they take home. We don't know their expenses. So if you think it's an apology, it's not. What I'm telling you is that because other media people are after the Ricketts, I think the Cubs were seventh in payroll this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to have the highest payroll in baseball?
Well, I don't think he's saying that, Bruce. Well, Kevin, thank you for the phone call.
Kevin's
touching on an essential point, though, and we've discussed this off the air, and I think we have an obligation to address it on the air. To me, what he's citing is the way that the media, sports media, works. There's a perception out there that's being advanced nationally by some very well-respected reporters, and they have the numbers that suggest, Bruce, that the Cubs...
Why are they incensed?
Well, I don't think anybody's incensed. I want to get to the bottom of this, so let me finish for a second. I think that there's an obligation that the Cubs have, or there's an opportunity, maybe I should say that. Maybe it's even a mandate. It seems pretty urgent. There's a disparity between the revenue and the spending. And the Cubs, according to well-respected national baseball reporters, are profiting in a way that puts them at the top of the list of teams that are making money and not...
They're not making more than the Dodgers.
Well, the disparity between revenue and spending is... puts them atop the list that are being cited. And I think the Cubs could explain this because they have really smart people there who are articulate and can come on radio stations, television stations, and help us understand this number.
Apologizing for Ricketts and the Cubs, I was at the forefront of people saying they need to go after an ace at the deadline, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They need to go after somebody and not worry about money. Right at that point, because they had in hand a very good team that needed that one more power arm. And as it turned out, with Horton's injury, they really were hurting because they didn't have that power arm in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I
know.
Didn't have it for game five. But the point is, a lot of the people that are rate in the media about Cubs not spending are people that are being... pushed by agent talk.
Well, okay? I think there's two things true. I don't know if it's irate, but I do think the agents are behind the scenes, and they do push a lot of the buttons, and they have a lot of the puppet strings. I get that, how it works. I've been one of those puppets.
How did the Mets spending $300 million work out?
Again,
I don't want to argue with you, Bruce. No, I'm not arguing with you. What I'm saying is spending the most money... The key, the Milwaukee Brewers don't spend much money, right? They have $140 million payroll.
The Brewers and other small market success stories are good examples of teams that win despite not having to spend to the degree that other teams do. They're also limited by their market size and how much the revenue they can produce and keep.
Right.
The Cubs are a big market team.
Yeah, but the Cubs are also a team that is building young players into their system from other teams and their own system by developing players. You want to punish them for not spending more money on that?
I don't think anybody wants to punish them. I think that in my case, and I can only speak for myself, I would like an explanation that helps us better understand what this number represents and what this disparity says or doesn't say about the state of the offseason. And I don't think a defensive posture is one that does them any favors.
I'm not defending. I'm saying spending money is not the only or the right way necessarily to winning. Now, this year, you had the team that takes in the most revenue in baseball, which is the Dodgers, mm-hmm. winning again.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Blue Jays, who spent $280 million on payroll, being second. Last year, you had the Dodgers winning and the Yankees, who spent about $275 to $300 million that year, being up there. Before that, you've had a lot of small markets win, right?
You small markets have done a nice job of overcoming
that
obstacle.
And
yes.
Then you had the Arizona Diamondback thing. Like, why don't you do it like the Diamondbacks did, right? They got there. That's an easy way. A lot of owners look at that and go, why do we have to spend $300 million, $350 million on payroll when a team like Arizona gets there with $150 million? Now, since then, Arizona spent a lot of money on free agents.
Yes.
A lot of them crapped out.
I know. But I think what you're hearing from Cub fans, there are two things that come up often in these kind of conversations, which tend to be a little bit repetitive and redundant. But Kyle Tucker is not going to be coming back. And I think you can defend that decision by saying he's not a $400 million player and didn't have that kind of a season. But the other one that really, I think, sticks in the craw of some Cub fans is Alex Bregman last offseason and where they were said to have finished in the Bregman sweepstakes and not being willing to go a certain point to get him in a Cub uniform.
So he got a three-year total $120 million contract, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Opt-outs each year. He opted this year, right?
He's available again.
Okay.
Is he worth the pursuit?
Do you know how many games he played?
I don't off the top of my head. I do know that he was injured often, and it limited his productivity.
114 games, right? When he was out there, he played well. So at age 32, you know, going to 33, how many years do you want to go? The Cubs offered 4 years at about $120 million, $125 million last year. Turned down the Detroit money, took this opt out, and here he is again.
And the Cubs will have a decision to make, and we have a conversation to continue. And we'll get back to all of this, and we'll get to our callers. But when we come back, maybe Boog Sciambi has a thought on this perception that is growing about the Cubs offseason. Boog Sciambi will have thoughts on the World Series he just announced for ESPN Radio and the Cubs, because he is the face of the Cubs in the booth every day on the Marquee Sports Network. He'll join us next here on Inside the Clubhouse. It's David and Bruce until 11, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
One out, one strike away from the postseason. 8-4, Cubs lead the Pirates. Bottom of the ninth, two outs. In the air, left field. There's Hat. He's got it. Ball game. The Cubs are headed to the postseason. For the first time since 2020, the Cubs are going to the playoffs. And fittingly enough, it ends in the hands of Ian Happ, the kid from Pittsburgh, the longest tenured Chicago athlete, with a huge day, and the Cubs back in the playoffs.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, till 11 o'clock, talking baseball. Thank you to the Marquee Sports Network for that highlight of the Cubs clinching a playoff berth, and thank you to our next guest, Boog Shambi, who joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Good morning, Boog. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Really appreciate your time this morning. We know you're probably decompressing after a tremendous postseason. Terrific job on Game 7 of a World Series. Nobody will soon forget. Just curious, let's start there. You were there for every step of the way for ESPN Radio, and you did it in your typically professional way. What will you remember most about the World Series the Dodgers won over the Blue Jays?
That's a good question. I think it's one of the best World Series that we've had in, you know, recent memory. I would say that it, look, the last two games ended on double plays, which is crazy. You had an 18 inning game and an 11 inning game. I'm not sure if there's one thing, but it was a lot of fun. And you certainly, I think as soon as the Dodgers won the 18 inning game, I think a lot of people thought with Snell and, with Ohtani and then Snell pitching, that the Dodgers would end up just winning it in five and it would be done. And then the Blue Jays won the next two. And everybody was like, okay, I guess we'll go back to Toronto and watch the Blue Jays win. And it had ups and downs and twists and turns. It was a really entertaining series.
Booga, this one was a toss-up for me, being one of the greatest, I think, between that one and Ruth being thrown out in the 1926 series, trying to steal second base, trailing 3-2. And, you know, since I saw both, I think I'm the right guy to make the call on that. But David and I were talking about this, and I think we'll start there with this, and that is, why is it there this feeling that we always have to be watching the greatest thing that's ever happened in a sport right now? Why is there that feeling, we were there, we saw it, it's the best ever?
I think that it's part of it is just with more media outlets and more content being created, that lists and stuff like that is just something that you're going to do. So we feel compelled to do, you know, what's the best, what's the greatest. I mean, if you were to think about like the ultimate, you know, sports bar conversation, it's about who's the best player, the best team, the best this, the best that. I hear you. I mean, I would tell you this. I'm at a point now as I've gotten older where I don't much care. Like, I think it's one of the best World Series I've ever seen, and I'll tell you why. And if you don't agree, I'm not much interested in arguing. I don't feel like, especially, you know, if we want to sit here and break down the 91 World Series and how awesome that was. So I think that in the end, it's just sort of where we are. We're just always looking for new content, and lists, and what's great is there. But yeah, you wish everybody could just kind of sit and enjoy. I mean, look, think about, I mean, I did a lot of sports talk radio back in the day. I think that part of what, you know, would always stun me was I would be in the middle of the Dolphins season and people would be asking, who do you think they're going to draft? And it's like, yes, but they're playing games right now. So it's just weird. It's like, so it's just always on to the next, the debate. And it's like, could we just sit in the moment and talk about that they're playing the Jets this weekend? And what will that be like? So, I think it's unfortunate in terms of that we're not always able to just stay in the moment. But I get that in today's world of just sensory overload and so forth, that we're always looking for the next big thing or what's great, that type of thing.
Joined by Boog Shambi here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. In that vein, Boog, when you watched the Dodgers and the Blue Jays, I think a lot of us in Chicago are actually looking through a Cub prism or a Sox prism. When you looked at those two teams, how far away are the Cubs in your mind? You know, you're an expert on the Cubs. You see them on a regular basis. I just wondered, is that even a fair question? Because everybody wants to be where the Dodgers are now from a baseball fan perspective, celebrating a championship. How far away do you view the Cubs after a real magical season on the North Side?
Not far. And look, if there's one thing, with all due respect to the Blue Jays, that you should take away is nobody's that far away, man. Like, look, I thought that the Blue Jays played better in the series, in the overall, and probably should have won the series. But I think the Dodgers are a better team. They're just more talented. There's just more there. But, like, when the Cubs went to Toronto and played there, even though the Blue Jays won the series, I'm sitting there looking at that team and saying, okay, like, that team's not in any real great way better than what the Cubs are delivering. So, I would say the Cubs are not – it shows you can go on that type of a run. I mean, look, I don't think the American League was that good, but you're not that far. In the National League, you're always going to deal with the Dodgers. I still believe, when you look at, from a spending standpoint, you're going to have to deal with the Dodgers. I think David Stearns is really sharp, and he's going to get the Mets to a place where they really become a juggernaut. But ultimately, I think that the Cubs are in a position where, like a lot of teams, you got to have some fortune and luck, and there's timing and that type of thing, and then there's also really good process. I think that's one of the things we don't talk about the Dodgers. The Dodgers have really good process, but I think ultimately we want to try to sit there and everybody, and this is one of the things that I really dislike. Everybody wants to take lessons. So, like, the amount of talking about the contact with the Blue Jays and, like, this is how you'll build a team. And it's not how it works, man. Like, teams go on runs. They still slugged like crazy, the Blue Jays did. And they got a higher percentage of their runs on homers. They basically got half their runs in the postseason on homers. And they got a higher percentage than the Dodgers did, even though they're supposed to be the contact team. You get into a space where you have, kind of a magical run, but there's a lot of the components to the Cubs that you like. You got to have elite level something. And one of the things the Cubs had is elite level defense. They've certainly got to figure out some stuff pitching wise. I would tell you this, that I think that there's one area, this is just my opinion, where they've got to get better, and I just think you've got to get more dudes that get swing and miss.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's one of the biggest things. You've got to get more guys that are capable of striking people out. When you're watching in the postseason, there's just too many dudes out there my joke is, when I get to do the national games, it's, how do I pronounce this guy's name? How hard does he throw?
Right.
Because it's like some guy coming in out of the bullpen that you've never heard of before is throwing 99. And you got to get more of those dudes.
Well, you're right. Take a good look at those guys, because they won't be there in 2 years. But that's another conversation altogether.
No, but then they'll be gone for a year and a half, and then they'll be back again.
Yeah, right.
That's cold, but, like, that's it.
No, you're right. Boog Sciambi, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. Let's go to Shota Imanaga. Obviously, they offered the qualifying offer to him for $22 million. They have 9 days here to make some kind of other deal with them that might extend it for a year or so. What type of Shota would you expect? And I know it's an unfair question at this point, but physically able, not giving up home runs at a rate of 2 per game. How do you look at Shota going into next year, and And basically, the gamble the Cubs have taken by offering the qualifying offer.
Gamble as far as what do you mean? Why do you think like that's a gamble?
Because who will he be?
I mean, look, you're assuming that he, you know, that he's definitely taking and coming back, right? I think if you look at what the market is and what he's, I'm not saying I think it's unrealistic to think he's going to pitch the way he pitched the first year, but somewhere better than what he finished is still a really valuable dude. So I don't sweat it too much. I think, you know, he's probably he needs to be your third best pitcher, right? Or fourth best pitcher. To sit there and try and figure out at the end of the year what the problems were. There were just too many pitches in the middle of the plate. That's for darn sure. I still would want him on my team. That's for certain. I think there's value there. I do.
Boog, we only got a minute left, but I want to get your perspective on this. Do you think the Tigers actually will trade Tarik Skubal this offseason? And if he is on the market, do the Cubs have enough in terms of prospects? And would it be worth them exploring that possibility?
I'm sitting in. Do I think they'll do it? Not sure. I guess I lean towards no, I don't think they will.
There's your power arm.
But if they do, he's the guy. But then you gotta extend him. Then we get ourselves into. So yeah, the Cubs have enough. Like the Cubs could give the Tigers enough, I think. But then you're doing that for the purposes of keeping him, aren't you? And then it becomes how much money is he looking for? Are the Cubs willing to spend that money? And then we're, you know, into the same conversations that we keep having, and I don't know the answers to.
As an honest perspective, I think it's going to be something that, as you point out, it's a sports talk radio topic that will exhaust.
It would
exhaust.
Be awesome to get him. I mean, Tarik Skubal in a Cub uniform, it would be incredible. It'd be incredible.
Yeah, the ballpark would be filled up. Oh, that's right.
It already is filled up, yeah.
Yeah, Boog, it is.
Tremendous stuff, Boog. Welcome back, and it really did a great job on the World Series.
Yeah, we loved it.
Enjoy your offseason.
Thanks, you guys.
Yep. All right, take care, buddy.
Boog Sciambi from the Marquee Sports Network and ESPN Radio. Interesting stuff. 312-644-6767. We'll get to our callers. We'll weigh in on the Cubs offseason. And also coming up at 10 o'clock, White Sox new pitching coach Zach Bove joins us here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here it comes. Swing and a miss, strike three. Kittredge strikes out both Scott and Nootbaar. In fact, he struck out Pajes also.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David and Bruce till 11. That was Pat Hughes calling one of Andrew Kittredge's appearances, not starts. He did start a game, though, Bruce, in the postseason. He also closed a game. Oh, that was in the Padres series where he was invaluable, and now he's an ex-Cub.
I think it went like this. closing one game and then starting the
next.
Yes,
yeah. I know. He made history. He made progress. He had success.
He was very, very good.
And now
good.
He's gone. Explain it to me
very,
so I understand
very
it.
Very good.
Tell me
except
what.
Except for his first outing where he gave up a big 3-run home run and lost a game. But after that, he was outstanding. And the Orioles wanted him back badly. The Orioles want to make a run this year. They want to get back into the fray. And getting a veteran like Kittredge back is important. If you're a Cub fan, you go, well, why aren't we keeping him?
That's what I said.
And I said to you during our break, I said, you know, the $9 million they paid him, they're paying him right now and would have paid him for this year. It was too much like the reminder of the Hector Neris from 2 years ago and the Presley deal from last year, where they both made Cubs apart $9 million.
Mm-hmm.
Both big failures, right? So maybe they take that $9 million, break it in two. They come up with a Sean Armstrong. They come up with a, you know, maybe their money goes towards Robert Suarez as a true closer.
Wow.
I don't know if you're going to get him for less than $9 or $10 million a year. He turned down an option. I think that was right around there.
I just didn't like how quickly it happened. I think it signaled an off season where you're going to put savings ahead of productivity.
You think.
Exactly. I'm telling you how I reacted.
Yeah,
I don't even know that I gave much thought to that, Bruce. My reaction was visceral. And as a Cub fan, you're looking at it like, what are you doing to me? This guy was invaluable in the Padres series. Now you're getting rid of him? What time is it?
Would you rather have him or Keller?
Brad Keller.
Okay. So do we know if they're going to make an offer to Keller to try to bring him back?
Do you know?
No.
Well, if you don't know, I don't know. No.
I'm just saying, we have a list in front of us of, 40 bullpen guys that are available?
Yes, a lot of them, but they're going to have to rebuild again. I just thought that Kittredge had shown them in a way that he could be used, and he was like the, we overuse the term, but that Swiss Army knife. I don't even own a knife, but I know he's a versatile guy.
If he stayed with Baltimore
and
they let him go and he was a free agent and you knew you had to pay him $9 million this year as a free agent, what would you think of that sign?
Well, I wouldn't have the history that influences my decision because he was successful for the Cubs in a time where you needed him to have success. So I'm attached emotionally if I'm a Cub fan. I saw him do good things when I needed to see good things done.
They need four or five bullpen guys.
Let's squeeze in a quick phone call. Chuck is in Willowbrook. Chuck, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Yes.
Hey, Chuck.
I'm of the opinion that this Cub team, even if Tucker comes back, has reached its course, and there's got to be major changes.
Wow!
And those major changes include removing Happ and Suzuki from the starting lineup.
Boy, Chuck, thanks for the phone call, but I don't think that's going to happen because they both have no trade clauses. Plus, they both finished fairly strong.
Well, one thing you're leaving out is they only have 1 year left on their contract.
Chip is in Chicago Ridge. Chip, let's squeeze in real quick.
You didn't like that?
Yes. Hey, guys. Just wondering, you know, when you, Bruce, mentioned that Swanson's the only guy the Cubs are committed to through 2027, I wondered how much of that might have been foreshadowing of what could happen following the 2026 season and potential lockout.
80%, I would say.
Yeah, that's what I wondered is with all those guys gone, are other teams thinking the same? And to the point about with the Cubs and spending and the debate, I mean, one of the things that I thought about was A.J. Pierzynski talking about, hey, you're still charging $20 a beer, the cost to the average fan to go. It just rises and rises. And when you see a team and you hear about the money and not being spent, and all, as a fan, you have to wonder, why aren't they spending the money? And no team is losing money. The media deals are astronomical. No team is in the red, according to Sportrack. And when you see that, it does make you wonder. And when I look back at the last 10 years of World Series teams, winners or competitors are usually the top eight in spending every year.
Okay.
And it is frustrating to see a team like the Cubs not make moves when at the deadline to where, if nothing else, you feel they're committed to making that run at winning it. When they hold back and don't make moves, you think you're making money. Why aren't you putting some back towards at least trying to win this whole thing instead of crying, well, you know, hey, they were just out of it. Or we're thinking about our farm system in 2032. What's that do to the fans?
Chip, that's a reasonable question and a fair assessment of the way a lot of fans felt after the trade deadline. We'll talk about that moving forward. We're going to, when we come back, pause to talk to White Sox pitching coach Zach Bove, who is new on the scene. We're going to get back to that conversation, Chip, because I think Bruce, he asked an essential question that will frame this offseason for the Cubs and Cub fans. It's Inside the Clubhouse. David and Bruce until 11 o'clock, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.